Hey, hey, I'm your host, the Dr. Danko, come on in. You've been missing out, so let's begin. Oh, Pumpkin underscore Crumb is your host here too. When you hear the beat, you know what to do. Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me now? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me? Hey. Good evening and welcome to Why Did Not You Warn Me? I'm your host, Matthew, the Dr. Danko.
And I'm Hillary Crumb, the co-host.
The shitty co-host who's mocking me in my process.
Matt counts us in silently, yeah. And I was, teasing him. And then I couldn't stop laughing, and here
right.
We are.
So you ruined it. So how are you?
Just living my life, man. How are you?
Living your best life?
Yes. Hashtag yeah. Hash brown, hash rather. Brown. Living my best life.
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was work?
Tired.
Work was tired.
It was tired. It was cold and tired. It's just, we can't close up the sites until at Go Ape, for those right. of you who don't know. It's a treetop adventure course, and we can't close up the sites. There's 5 sites until the last customer has completed that site. And I mean, that's equivalent to we can't shut
can't
the
close
doors,
the restaurant.
Yeah, while there's customers still inside.
Right.
So it was just a lot of waiting for them to finish up, and then it just took so long tonight. But it's fine. I got out at a decent time, I guess. And
Yeah,
a little later than normal. Other than that, yeah, it was just really cold outside.
I told you to wear thick socks this morning.
Yes, and it helped.
Good.
Yeah, so what have you been up to?
I am basically unemployed. Like, I work at the zoo, but they didn't put me on the schedule this week because they had, a lot of craziness going on with managers, and I've emailed the one remaining manager twice, and I hate talking on the phone, so I was supposed to call her today, but I didn't. Because I have to finish my 10-year-long training, and I don't know when it's gonna happen.
I imagine it'll be this week.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
And I also have this job, well, this potential job at a childcare center. They checked my references, they made me the offer, but I had to tell them that I couldn't do the TB test and the physical until my Pennsylvania health insurance kicks in on May 1st.
Which is reasonable.
Right. And I have not heard from them since.
That's all right. I think...
I don't know.
I think May 1st is a... For everything to get through, that's a reasonable time and...
Right, because, I mean, I also, I had to do the FBI background check, and I just got that today. I'm still waiting on one of my letters of reference.
Yeah.
I think it's cursed. Everyone I have asked has been like, oh, yeah, I'll do it, if they have responded at all, then they have not done it. I have one letter, and I need 2, and I've asked 4 people.
Well, I mean...
for this one.
Right, no, yeah.
So that's stressing me out a lot.
People get busy and then they forget and then...
Right, and and for childcare, the people that I'm asking are parents of young children.
Yeah.
And the ones that I'm asking are mostly ones that I've babysat in their homes, so they have multiple young children, generally.
Right.
Yeah, and they're busy and I get it, but it's making me a little nervous.
It'll all work out, though.
Thanks, man.
I'm pretty confident that it'll work out. What do you want me to say?
I don't know.
And it's shit and you're going to fail.
Thanks.
Is that what you want to hear?
I don't know what you want from me.
I really do think it'll work out. It's just taking a bit of time for everything to kick off. I think once May starts, everything will start working itself out.
So in the meantime, because, I could spiral off into self-doubt and existential dread, but you we could. Don't need to do that here.
No. Why did not you warn me podcast?
Right. So in the meantime, I go to the gym. I do the dishes. I went to a new little bakery. It's not a new bakery. It's new to us. Right. I went to a bakery for the first time, and I was like, this is my first time in. This seems like a cool place. And they were like, cool. Great. Yeah. Unimpressed.
Well, okay. I mean, the location of it's not, like, super, like, you know, urban in the city. So you'd figure right. It would be a little bit, like, more home style, like, homey, sort of the mom and pop type bakeries.
Right. But, and, like, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, but you're used to, like, in Harper's Ferry.
Right.
And even Williamsburg to some degree. It's
well,
like,
I'm also just used to people who are fucking polite. Like,
that's not to say people in Pittsburgh aren't polite.
No, I'm not talking about people in Pittsburgh. I'm talking about the people in that bakery.
Right.
I'm not making a broad generalization
no, no,
here.
No, no.
We went into Royalicious in Charlestown, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. If you're ever in Charlestown, West Virginia, go to Royalicious. It's this amazing, like, little bagel and pastry shop. They make sandwiches with, like, an entire turkey, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the vibe that I got at the place that I went to today, like, it looks kind of like Royalicious on mm-hmm. the inside. And they seem to have, like, a similar line of products, but none of the personality.
None of the personality, yeah.
I'm not going to say the name. This isn't a fucking Yelp review, but I was not impressed. The cookies are mediocre. I could make better.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. We'll eat them.
I hope. They were sort of a present for me.
They were.
And I haven't tried them yet.
Yeah, the peanut butter blossoms.
Yeah.
Because I know that, I think they're your favorite. I think you told me that.
That or Snickerdoodle. Like, there's, right. Yeah, the cinnamon and the sugar.
Right.
And the chocolate.
Cool.
All my harm. What?
I don't know.
So, what have you been reading this week?
So, I read Simon vs. the Homo Sapiens Agenda by Becky Albertalli, I want to say is her last name.
So that's the book that's based on Love, Simon. The one
that Love, Simon is based on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, the movie Love, Simon that we saw a couple of weeks ago is based on this novel with this long, ridiculous name.
Yeah.
That I understand why they shortened for the movie, because
it's a little more marketable.
Right. More concise. You can fit it on a t-shirt if you need to.
Right.
Like,
yeah, for sure.
Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. It's a mouthful. The book was very good. Parts of it made me squeal, made me giggle. You know, it's a sweet little young adult novel.
Yeah.
I think that the changes that the movie made... I understand why they did it. It told a more linear story that was sort of easier to follow. There were a lot of things that the movie made more dramatic, which were, like, you know, you want to do that when you're changing it from, you know, a form that you're reading to a visual format. You want to make it a little bit more dramatic. But, like, so in the book, Simon is sort of like, he has this email relationship with this boy named Blue, and we don't know who Blue is, but this asshole named Martin takes screenshots of these emails, and Simon is not out and neither is Blue.
Mm-hmm.
As gay, if that wasn't obvious. This is a little rambly, but you know what, we're getting there.
You're fine. Okay. You don't ramble more than I do. I'm so sure. You're fine.
So in the movie, at a very dramatic point, Martin shares these screenshots of these emails and outs Simon publicly and draws a lot of attention toward Blue, who is very skittish about his identity. But in the book, Martin has these screenshots, but he never posts them.
Mm-hmm.
What he does is he goes on, there's like a gossip Tumblr for their high school, and he posts something fairly crude, seemingly as Simon, like, outing himself as gay. So Blue is not involved at all, except in, like, very subtle ways that only Simon would be able to pick up on.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's a little bit less dramatic. There's a big, crazy, like, homecoming scene where Martin asks out this girl named Abby, and that's not in the book at all.
And then Abby is the daughter of Michael Keaton, and he's actually the Vulture selling alien
and
tech.
And Simon is actually Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right. Basically the same thing. Yeah, so the book was different. I hate to even say this, but I almost liked the movie better. I'm definitely glad that I saw the movie first.
Yeah.
Because I think that had it been the reverse, I would have been more focused on the differences.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing the movie first, it was a very strong movie.
Yeah, I think it was, I didn't read the book. Just, based on the movie, it was very well acted, and mm-hmm. the story was very concise, and it felt, I think I said this when we actually did talk about Love, Simon on the podcast, comparing it to that movie Every Day.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like they were in high school and it was very real and genuine.
Yeah.
Whereas Every Day was sort of like what people think high school is like.
Right.
And I don't know. So it was easier to relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I haven't been in high school for some years now, but it was what high school is today, and it was a good representation of the time.
Yeah, it felt much more contemporary.
Yeah.
It wasn't just adults sitting at a table deciding what high school is.
Right.
Yeah, it actually felt like kids were involved in the thought process.
Yeah.
In the back of the novel, because it was the copy of the novel that came out that was reprinted after the movie. So there was a conversation with the author and I don't remember the director's name, and with Nick Robinson, who played Simon in the movie. Not super interesting. One of the only things that really stuck out for me was that the author was just effusive in her praise for the movie, which it was good. But she was saying, I know that my fans will love the movie. And that's a little presumptuous because, John Green, who, I love and adore, is always very careful not to speak for his fan base.
Right.
He's I love the movie version. I hope you guys do. But
yeah, I guess. But if you know your audience well enough.
This woman's written two books.
Well, that's the problem. So Kevin Smith knows his fan base because he's been doing it for a while, and he sort of, his stuff has the same feel to it. You can look at a Kevin Smith film and know that it's a Kevin Smith film.
Mm-hmm.
So he's more or less making it for them. He's making it for himself as well, but he would be the first one to be I think you guys will like this movie. But she's only written two other books. It's kind of a bold claim.
Yeah, and John Green also has this huge online presence where he interacts with, I hate to even say his fan base because he would refer to it as an internet community. But he's present and interacting. I don't know if this woman has that because, I know that she has written one other book because I saw it on a shelf somewhere. But I don't know anything beyond that. I'm very curious. I lent the book to my grandmother, who has been a huge advocate for gay rights since forever, since before it was cool. I am curious to see if she will like the book. I told her that it's 50-50. I mm-hmm. wasn't sure if she was gonna like it. She will be much more forgiving because Simon is gay. I told her that I would try to get her a copy of the movie at some point. I don't know. I started another book and I have another new book, but Love, Simon, or Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, was kind of an unremarkable YA lit book.
You have to read it to find out. It's always interesting to me what makes those books, I don't want to say good enough, but
what grabs a director?
Somebody that's I want to turn this into a movie. Because there have been a lot of movies based on books recently, within the last few years. And I'm just I'm not a reader, but those stories have never been on my radar.
Yeah.
And like, then I hear the movie's coming out and I'm just like, oh, it's another movie. And then you're like, oh no, it's a book once or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, huh, I wonder why.
Yeah. And like, I was particularly curious about that with Love, Simon.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep calling it that.
Yeah. It's easier.
Because like the director was saying in this conversation in the back of the book that, you know, he felt very drawn to the story, and I'm pretty sure he's a gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Greg Berlanti, maybe, was the director. It's
familiar.
Not that important.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I almost feel like the things that made the movie so special were not in the book.
Yeah.
Like, I talked to you about this a little bit as I was reading it, but Movie Simon knew exactly who he was. Like, he was very sure of himself. And Book Simon was much more, I mean, I was much more typically teenager,
mm-hmm.
in that, like, there was a really cool paragraph that I think I read to you about, you know, every time he does something new, he has to come out.
Yeah, like,
every time I drink a beer, or, you know, I drink coffee for the first time. Like, it's reinventing yourself to the people that know you and care about you.
Yeah.
And coming out as gay is just another part of that.
Mm-hmm.
His little monologue when he yells at Martin for blackmailing him about how, no, it's not necessarily a big deal to be gay, but that was his right to decide when and how and to whom. That all became public knowledge, and that was taken away from him. Like, that's in the book and the movie.
Yeah, no, in the movie that really got me.
Yeah.
That was a big
powerful
part. Yeah.
That one, and I think his coming out to his parents is much more powerful in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also, like, they changed, like, weird details. Like, the other thing that we really loved about the movie was his family.
Mm-hmm.
And his family is very different in the book.
Yeah, you said he has an extra sister.
He has an older sister and a younger sister. And in the movie, like, the younger sister has this whole cute thing where she bakes and is, like, trying to be a chef.
Yeah.
And that is not in the book at all. Like, the younger sister is, like, even more lost in trying to figure herself out than Simon is.
It's strange.
Yeah, but, I mean, it made the movie a little bit more focused because, you know, in the book, you're kind of worrying about, like, what's up with Nora,
mm-hmm.
because she's, you know, exhibiting all this weird behavior. Yeah. But in the movie, you're able to focus on Simon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All go right. Watch the movie. Book's fine. Go watch the movie. So what have you been watching this week?
Well, you know, I keep just watching stuff that I've already seen. But I watched the movie Accepted. I've been wanting to rewatch it for a long time. And I just watched, you know, Tusk and then Yoga Hosers, which both have Justin Long in them.
Okay.
In Tusk, he is the one that gets turned into the walrus.
Right.
And then in Yoga Hosers, he plays Yogi Bear, the yoga instructor.
Sure.
To the two teenage girls. And he's like... he doesn't come up with them, but he's like, he takes his job very seriously, but he does all of these like weird unique yoga moves.
Okay.
Like the dissatisfied customer, which is like, I do not like the product you have given me, and does this weird pose for it, and like the, you know, the downward facing dog, and then there's like the three-legged dog. It's so sad. It's so sad. And then there's the dog with the two wheels because he doesn't have two legs, so he has a push cart and he's pushing.
And
like, it's a really funny scene though, the way Justin Long does it.
Okay.
But anyways, like, those movies got me thinking about Justin Long, and I've always liked Justin Long as an actor. He was in the movie Accepted and Drag Me to Hell. He was in Galaxy Quest. He played like the nerdy teenager who knew everything about the TV show.
Wasn't he in Waiting?
Yeah, he was in Waiting. He was always a funny actor to me.
Sort of the same character in Waiting and Accepted.
A bit.
If I'm remembering correctly.
But in Accepted, so hopefully you guys have seen this movie. It's been like since 2003 or 4. Jonah Hill was still a big dude back then. To see him slim down now, it's like
crazy transformation. Is he still relevant? Like...
Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. What do I know?
It was just in a movie not too long ago where he played like this drug lord, like.
So he's branching out a bit.
Well, yeah, no, it was like these two guys accidentally start selling drugs like on a massive scale and like make millions of dollars off of it. I can't remember. War Dogs, it might be called, or
is
something
he
like that.
Basically still playing the funny fat friend, except he's skinny now.
I mean, listen, okay, it's fine to play that character over and over again. I think Jonah Hill has something unique about him.
Okay.
A sincerity or a... And he can play serious roles. He was in Moneyball, I think. Doesn't matter. This story isn't about him.
I
it's
consider
about
him,
Long.
Like, interchangeable with Seth Rogen, so...
No.
No?
No, because okay. Seth Rogen's way more... I mean, he's buddies.
Or
James
Zach
Franco.
Galifianakis.
Jesus Christ, no.
No?
Zach Galifianakis is in The Hangover.
Right.
He's the... I mean, right. Yes, they do play the funny fat friends.
Yes, so like all three of
but,
them.
No.
Just interchangeable.
Not interchangeable. I don't think they are... Look, they might fit into the funny fat friend persona, but the way they play it is different, I think. They're just their inflections. And
you're getting very worked up.
This wasn't the point of the story, but now that you're like, oh yeah, Zach Galifianakis
well,
and Seth Rogen.
I don't know. I'm not claiming I know. This is my perception
okay, well,
of what's happening.
It's wrong, so it's fine.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. I'm
you're
kidding.
Wrong.
You're entitled
and a
to your
dick.
Opinion. Wow, that was harsh. I was joking, and now you're serious, so I'm offended.
Cool.
Anyway,
so Seth,
no, we're gonna figure this out.
I can't even, like, I have like one mental image of the three of them.
Okay, well, while I talk about this, I'm gonna pull up their photos.
Great.
So Seth Rogen, who is in Zach and Mary Make a Porno,
I did not see that.
I know,
but I know it's a Kevin Smith movie.
Exactly. Okay.
A Kevin Smith movie that did not do great for a lot of reasons that did not have much to do with Kevin Smith.
Exactly. Because you read Tough Shit.
Yes, and
okay.
Also I've been dating you for more than a
so
year and
Seth
a half.
Seth Rogen.
Was that not all three of them in a row?
Unfortunately, this picture does, like, you could do that, and that would be Jonah Hill.
They
like,
have,
cover
like,
up his
the
eyes.
Jufro and the same
okay.
skin tone.
You can only
I can say,
say
Jufro, you can.
Because
I'm
Jewish.
Right.
Jonah Hill was in 21 Jump Street.
Channing Tatum.
Well,
and Michael Cera. He's, like, their kid.
You're getting way
if all three
off
of them
here.
Had a baby. Is that
Hill.
Not the same person?
No, it's not. They're very different people. Like, let them have their identities. Anyways, so Accepted. Back to the whole
which
point.
Which one of them is in Accepted?
Jonah Hill. He
the
plays,
one you just showed me?
Yes, the
okay.
one I just showed you. He like... So, the movie Accepted.
I've seen Accepted.
I know that.
Okay,
I'm just talking to our audience. Not everything's about you.
Tell your mom that you've seen Accepted.
That's fine. So the movie Accepted is about a kid, Justin Long, who can't get into college.
Right.
He doesn't, like, conform to... Okay, listen. It's important. It's about individuality.
Stop
and
defending yourself.
I
just
have
tell
to
your story.
Because you're rolling your eyes. So... Justin Long can't get into any college, and his parents are really pissed at him, and, like, everyone's like, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go to college? And he's like, well, no, I didn't really get in anywhere. And his dad's like, yeah, he screwed around, and now he's not going to college. And all this other stuff. And he's, like, really upset about this. But then he's like, well, the colleges I've applied to, like, even the ones I thought I could get into, just, they don't accept me. Like, that's... The problem
is unaccepted.
Yes, he's unaccepted. So to buy himself more time, he turns to his buddy Jonah Hill to put together this sort of fake website and send him a fake acceptance letter to
South Harmon
Institute
of
Technology,
acronym SHIT.
Yes, exactly. You know, just to get his parents from asking him what's going on and things like that. So it all goes through, but then they're like, well, we want to drop you off, and it'll be great. And then he's like, well, shit, now I need a place that looks like South Harmon. So he, like, leases this abandoned mental institution that's been shut down for years. Super decrepit. He like leases it, fixes it up with his friends to make it look like the face of South Harmon Institute of Technology. So his parents drop him off and everything's fine. But then what happens is the website is like acceptance is just one click away. But anybody who went to that website and clicked like they want to apply to it got accepted automatically.
So then people started showing
up. So there's
up.
Like 400 kids that show up on orientation day. And like, we're here for college. And now he's like, holy shit.
Right.
But out of that, like, he gathers them all in, like, the auditorium or whatever and is like, I'm so sorry, but, like, I just, like, he's about to tell them, like, this has all been sort of an elaborate plan to fool his parents because he couldn't get in anywhere. But then he, like, takes a poll and he's like, how many of you applied to other colleges, and they all raise their hand. It's like, how many of you got into those other colleges? And none of them raised their hand. And then he's like, well, they're just like me. Like, they weren't accepted anywhere else. So now we're going to make this college real. Like,
right.
They've all been accepted here. All the, like, outcasts of their own groups, like, couldn't get in anywhere else for whatever reasons. Like, this is the place they can sort of call home. And, like, the movie is a very typical movie of its time, like all those National Lampoon movies and American Pie movies, like a group of teenagers, sort of the misfits of the group, and then there's the prestigious college across the campus that like has a bunch of frat boys that are up to no good and shit like that, and this movie toes along those same lines where it's like them, like the misfits versus the white collar douchebags.
Right.
for lack of a better word. And then it's like them figuring out who they are. And the only thing this movie is missing is like the sporting event that they have to defeat them in.
Right.
To win the title of, you know, best college ever. But there's somewhat of a moment like that when they're in, because like, you know, eventually the frat boys realize this college isn't real and they just try to bring it down. So they bring all the parents there and have them, you know, reveal that this college isn't real and he's lied to you and all this stuff. So they have to go to, like, before the Board of Education to get accredited to, you know, like, sort of justify what makes their school a school.
And, like, it's kind of a cool scene because, like, when they started this fake college, they had all of the incoming students write what they wanted to learn on a board. And, like, one of the requirements to be accredited is that you have to have, like,
a curriculum.
Right.
Yeah.
So they bring in this board that everyone has written all over. And, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, as an educator, like, it's a cool statement about alternative learning.
It is, because that was the whole point. He, like, Justin Long's character, like, takes a tour of the campus of the actual Harmon College that's, like, right across the street, sort of. And, you know, he talks to a few of the kids, and, like, some of them are so stressed out during the class, like, taking vigorous notes that they can't focus on anything else because they're like, I gotta write this down. It's gonna be on the midterm, and this determines my future for the rest of my life. And then there's, like, a kid who's falling asleep and, like, shouts this acronym because it's a study aid. And then he asks his friend, like, so what are you studying? And it's like, well, I didn't really get into the classes I wanted to because, like, I wanted to be a photographer, but certain photography classes don't apply for a photography degree. Like,
which you can relate to, I'm sure.
Yeah. like the way her sort of advisor told her to approach photography was, like, you can't take a photojournalism class because it doesn't really apply to taking photos and weird shit like that that you come across when you're going to college.
Right.
So he was gathering all this information. He's like, well, shit, yeah, like, college, the system is sort of broken.
This is in like 2003.
Yeah.
And it's only gotten worse.
I know. And so he, you know, he does come up with that idea to like ask the students what they want to learn and have them write it on the board. And if you're interested in like, let's take a walk and think about stuff.
Yeah.
101, like you can sign up for it. And it's like a way to clear your mind and like figure out what you want to do with your life. And like very interesting approaches to an education.
Yeah, so like it is definitely a ridiculous movie, but like interwoven like within the plot is this idea that, you know, this traditional, you know, cookie cutter path that we're all sort of forced onto by our parents, you know, in addition to putting us in crippling debt, is also like it's never been the best way to learn.
No.
And there are so many studies proving that, and like like, you know, teachers teaching to the test and not being able to just take the classes that you want to take to learn what you want to learn. Like,
and like I've seen that movie a ton because I mean the ending, I even remember there's an end speech that Justin Long gives in sort of like the courtroom style.
You're all about place. The monologues.
I really love monologues. It's I love feeling that passion that the person is feeling.
You're
while
so
they're
cute.
Giving it. And I remember I made an away message that was the Justin Long...
Happy 2003.
Yeah, the Justin Long speech that he gives at the end. He's like, yeah, why can't we both exist? And like,
right.
You know, why do we have to conform to what you want to do? Like, there's value in what we are teaching at South Harmon. And like, whether or not you put your stamp of like accepted on our... Like, whether you give us credit or not, like... What we were doing there was real, and it was just such a powerful speech, and Justin Long gives it very well. And it's just, it makes me happy every time I watch it.
Makes me want to watch that movie again. I haven't watched it in years.
It's amazing. I would go watch it right now.
Okay,
honestly.
Well, we're in the middle of something.
Well, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, Accepted is just, I didn't know anything about it when it first came out, and I think I just bought it on DVD on a whim because I saw Justin Long was in it.
I'd seen the commercial, like, I want to blow things up with my mind, you know, that we all saw, because it played 14,000 times on TV.
Right. No, but it's...
I was trying to remember if it was Accepted or Waiting that I saw on a plane from... It might have been from Vietnam to Thailand. Which would have been 2006, so I don't know.
I mean... I want to say it came out in 2003. It might have been a little later.
So who knows? It's not super important, but it was one of those movies.
Right. Well, Waiting's the one in the restaurant with Ryan Reynolds.
No, I know which one is which. I just don't remember which one I saw when. It doesn't matter, you know? Not super relevant.
No.
Just a fun fact.
So just go watch Accept It again, because it's a feel-good movie. It makes me weep just thinking about it.
And it has... either Seth Rogen or Zach Galifianakis.
Jonah Hill.
Right. Or their triplet, Jonah Hill. Or possibly their child, Michael Cera.
Wow. Anywho.
I like it when girls say anywho. It's cute.
I know. Anywho. The big news.
The big thing that happened this week.
Infinity War.
Marvel's Avengers Infinity War.
Yes.
It was released on Thursday.
10 years in the making.
It's a big fucking deal. Like,
super.
Everything Marvel has been doing has been pointing us, you know, nudging slowly, amping up the excitement.
Yeah. Every end credit scene has built up to the next movie, all building up to this moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So we have a lot to unpack here.
Before we get into it, we're just going to put spoilers right across the top. Because as much as I would love to give a spoiler-free review...
We can't.
I'm
not
gonna.
Going to.
That's a lot of work.
So, like, just don't listen any further if you haven't seen Infinity War or are going to see Infinity War. Because we are going to ruin Avengers Infinity War right now.
Like, and it's really important because it has been 10 years in the making.
Right.
Like, it's been... Luckily, we saw it early, so, like, we don't really have to worry about it. But, like, people are already posting online, like, how could you ruin this for me and all this other stuff.
Yeah,
and it's a big thing. Like, it's super... I hate when movies are spoiled for me, and I don't really like to watch more than one trailer for a movie, because sometimes they do spoil it in trailers, but, like...
People are very emotionally invested in this project,
and they should
so.
Be,
yeah,
and, like, let's all respect that, so If you haven't seen the movie Avengers Infinity War, do not listen starting now.
Okay, great. First of all, congratulations, Marvel, for doing what has never been done before, to my knowledge.
Yeah, no. It's the largest, it's most ambitious, not just crossover. Like, that's huge, too. Like,
yeah, crossovers on crossovers.
So many, like, individual franchises to their overall story. Like, that's a huge milestone.
Just weaving all of that together cinematically.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you can do it in comic books, but...
Yeah,
like, what an ambitious, incredibly ballsy undertaking.
Yeah, but, and not just that, but, like, in terms of, you know, movie making and storytelling, despite the crossover aspect of it, but the fact that it has been 10 years building up to this story, like, I mean, you could argue that maybe they didn't know the end game. This isn't the end game, but, like, maybe they didn't know Infinity War was... you know, 10 years out, but like just the planning and the thought with Thanos and, you know, the Avengers assembling and everything like that. I mean,
super so well done. There's that, and there's the crossover angle, there's the long game, but there's also the fact that every one of these movies has been a strong standalone movie.
Yeah.
You do not have to have seen every other piece of this massive tapestry to know what you're looking at with this one movie. Like, I saw the first Avengers was the first Marvel movie that I saw, and I didn't see it until long after it had come out, because I was like, I haven't seen any of the movies leading up to it, and I'm not gonna know what's going on. Luckily, I had friends that were like, you're gonna love it. So I went to that, and then the next one I saw was The Winter Soldier, and I didn't know who Bucky was.
Yeah.
But the movie was still amazing. So, yeah, all of these pieces function as individual parts in addition to being part of something so much bigger.
And, it's great that it was able to do that for you who hadn't seen the others. And, like, you're not missing a whole lot, but for somebody who had watched, you know, Iron Man and Cap and all that.
Right.
The build-up to it was spectacular.
I bet.
To get that one shot of all of them in Avengers where
the
camera's panning around them and they're all, like, back-to-back.
Yeah.
It's so freaking cool. Like, super well done. And it's just... It makes me happy that this exists.
Yeah. That somebody has tried this and has been very effective.
Yeah.
This point. So now we have to get into Infinity War itself.
So
why don't you go first?
We're gonna do this. I'm gonna say that I really dug the film. We'll get into what I dug about it. You, however,
I was underwhelmed.
Yeah,
I mean, there are a couple of problems, like strikes the movie had against it going in. The first one is the fact that it has been 10 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
How could it possibly live up to all of that hype? I was nervous when I heard that was the goal. And, like, that is way too many fucking things for us to have to keep track of in one movie. So, nervous about that. The bigger problem is that I have very much still just not come down from Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, Black Panther, it raised the bar for what these movies can be.
Right.
It was incredible on every level. We've talked about it many times. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll talk about it many more times.
Yeah.
But that movie came out like a month ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the most recent Marvel movie that most of us have seen. It's the most recent one that came out in theaters.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is my most recent memory of watching a Marvel movie. And, like, fuck, what can follow that? Because it was flawless.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Even, like, so we're all aware of the fact that Marvel movies have sort of a formula to what makes them a Marvel movie.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen, roughly.
Yeah, and every movie from Iron Man forward has been, you know, it's fit its own sort of tone. Like, you can look at an Iron Man movie and be like, okay, that's Tony Stark's movie versus a Cap movie versus a Thor movie and all that other stuff.
But the structure
and
is
Guardians
similar.
And everything like that. But the structure is very similar. What Black Panther was all of that, but more. It was like the almost the next generation of what Marvel movies are.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can, you know, do it justice because it was just, there was just something so unique about it. And maybe it was just the building of Wakanda or like just how well acted everything was.
It there
was
so a lot much of heart, like
amazing parts thrown into that mix that, like, you know, Iron Man, the best part of that movie is Tony Stark.
Right.
But everything else is sort of a little, not underwhelming, but it's like, I get what they're doing. Great.
Give me more Tony.
Same with Captain America. I didn't really care that much about Red Skull and all that other stuff.
Right, but Steve Rogers,
he's amazing.
He's so compelling. Like Thor, you just always want to know what he's thinking.
I didn't care so much about Thor. I liked Loki a little bit more, and I liked him a lot more in Ragnarok.
Ragnarok was fantastic.
Thor has grown on me over time. I definitely like Thor as a character, and he was badass in Infinity War.
Yes.
But, like, the thing I loved most about Thor was Asgard.
Okay.
The entire world of Asgard. Like, each movie has had its own individual things that's, like, really strong.
Right.
But Black Panther hit all of every them. Note, like, at 100%, and it was so refreshing, and, like, it was a fucking good movie.
Yeah, I mean, it changed what Marvel movies can be. And yeah. I don't think anybody, including Marvel, really expected it to be as incredible as it was.
Not if they were planning on releasing Infinity War, even in May of this year.
Like, I would have done Black Panther last year. We needed more time.
Right.
To forget. Not forget, but for them to you know, build.
Chill and, like,
but
maybe throw in another movie between Black Panther and this.
But we talked about this, again, super spoilers. One of, like, the ultimate battle in Infinity War takes place in Wakanda.
Yeah.
So in that sense, and also I think Black Panther was one of the last characters introduced.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got, like, a little bit of him in Civil War, and then we got Black Panther. But so I think that it made sense for our introduction to Wakanda to be just before Infinity War.
Yeah.
If,
so
you know, if that was their
plan.
Knew
the playing grounds.
Yeah, so they can just, you know, show us Wakanda, and we know exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just the unexpected part for me watching it was, as soon as we get to Wakanda, I am emotionally involved because you have T'Challa, you have Okoye, you have Shuri, like, just these characters that you just fell for completely.
Mm-hmm.
I would follow Okoye into any battle ever, no matter what she said or did. I would be right there behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, So do we want to get into, like, the nitty-gritty of the movie?
Well, I just want to say a few things.
Okay.
So, I don't even know what I was going to say. I do think it was a smart choice to, you know, introduce us to Wakanda if the final battle is going to take us to Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, I'm sort of split on this, but, like, it would make the most sense to take it to New York, where everything started.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
especially
cinematically, Wakanda's interesting.
But. Right, no. It's amazing, and I love, you know, all the Wakandan tribes.
Like, yeah.
Like, are standing together to, you know, help defeat Thanos. But it would have been cool to have a full circle sort of thing. And it's important to note that this is a part one.
Which I did not know going in.
And I wasn't sure. Back when they released the news of Infinity War at Comic-Con, there was a photo they showed of, like, Avengers Infinity War. And that part one, and then part two would be next year.
Which is so weird with the way
but
it ended.
But they've marketed this movie as just Avengers Infinity War.
Right.
Which is fine. So Avengers 4, because this is technically the third Avengers movie, so Avengers 4 will be the part 2, whether they call it Infinity War or Secret Wars or whatever they call it in relationship to the comics, like, it'll definitely tell the latter half of this story.
Good, because Yeah.
So let's get into everything before, you know.
So, like, I don't know if this is my biggest problem, but it's the one that's my biggest problem at this moment. You mentioned, in regards to the first Avengers, how powerful that shot was of the four of them, mm-hmm. or more, because Hawkeye and Black Widow were there, too.
Yeah, did I say four?
I don't know.
Okay. When the Avengers all of them
assembled.
Yeah.
We did not get that shot in Infinity War. Like, this is the ensemble movie of mm-hmm. the decade that we have been building towards forever, and we didn't get that shot of all of them.
I understand that, but based on where it ends, I think it makes sense.
That was just super disappointing for me. That was, like, I was so looking forward to that.
I agree, but I don't think it's not coming.
No, I'm sure it is, but
I think that's the point, though, and I think the difficulty, the reason everyone thought they were going to get that, sort of like we got in Civil War,
mm-hmm.
Even with the two halves.
Yeah, like the two halves coming together was so fucking cool.
It is
like
a cool
we always
idea.
Get a shot like that.
But I think because like it's not marketed as a part one.
Yeah, like that's the problem.
Until you see the movie and find the ending, like then you're like, oh, shit. So there's going to be more to this story. And then, because this movie very much focuses on Thanos and his... I know you had a problem with that. It focuses on his, you know, getting the resurrection
stone.
We've also been listening to Harry Potter, so
it's
I'm
been a very pop culture happy week.
Getting the Infinity Stones for his gauntlet.
Right.
He achieves that, and then
God, it
does what he does at half the population.
We'll get to that.
I know, but like... It was very much his story. He's very much in, like, he's the focal point, even with all of these other moving parts. And I think that works because then you're not focused on, you know, telling six different stories with six different characters in one scene, because there's supposedly, like, upwards of 60 total Marvel characters
something
in the
like
movie.
That, yeah.
So in part two, my thought is, well, Thanos got what he wanted. He achieved his goal, but he's still the most powerful being on the planet, or in the universe, rather. So they're going to figure out something. They're going to figure out something. I don't know what they're going to do. Then we're going to get that, as my friend said, the money shot of everyone standing before Thanos.
And that makes sense. The problem is that literally until the second the movie ended, I had no idea it was a part one.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I was so bored of Thanos, and I know that we very much differed on that.
Yeah.
Gamora was the part of Guardians of the Galaxy that I was least interested in, because the thing with Guardians is, like, they were so funny. And then Gamora is serious and boring. So they spent so much of this 2.5-hour movie with Gamora and Thanos being dramatic at each other, and I just did not care.
Mm.
Like, we have the Avengers and, you know, all of the other superheroes that we've met scattered all over the Earth and in space, and we're focusing on this purple fuck and his green stepdaughter, and I do not care. Like, it's so frustrating how much time we spend with them. I was it got to the point where I would just check out every time we went back to them.
Really?
Because Thanos is not an interesting villain. I'm trying to think of a villain that I found particularly compelling.
What about Vulture from Homecoming?
Vulture was at least interesting because, you know, he's trying to feed his family. What the fuck is Thanos trying to do other than, like, genocide? He thinks that he's helping,
he's committing
genocide.
The stability of the, well, I don't, they're not all humans. So like,
right, of the universe.
Of the universe, yeah.
But that's all we ever get. It's not morally complicated because he's wrong, and he doesn't present any evidence
to
the contrary.
Wait. Yes, he does. He has that whole dialogue where, like, this whole, the Gamora's home planet, which I can't recall the name of.
Right, where they were all, like, it was overpopulated, and
they were
starving.
Going to die.
Like,
So, to fix that, he kills half the population, and then they were able to thrive.
But there's never any, like, nobody ever stops for a second to think, huh, it's all just like, oh, you're crazy, which, great. So if there is no conversation and no conflict, there's nothing to engage me in what's happening with that.
Who's gonna have a conversation with him?
Anyone.
Who?
Gamora could have. In all
She's
of the time.
She's got a whole lot of stuff going on.
Well, I don't care about her stuff. Life
she
sucks
was
and then you
kidnapped
die. Move on.
From her family, her
That's
mother.
Great. I have
and
never
then,
cared.
Wow. Let's see what happens when you're kidnapped.
I just like. And it was so repetitive with them, and there was nothing about it that captured me. That, and like we talked about this a little bit in the car on the way home, I think, like, yeah, you need the universe's biggest bad guy for this movie, mm-hmm. but I thought that it would have been so much more interesting if this was a bad guy who had some like specific problem with Earth's superheroes rather than someone who was just not paying attention to them at all. Like,
what do you mean he wasn't paying attention to them?
He did not. Like, he wasn't thinking about their resistance. He wasn't trying to take them down specifically. He was just doing what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it without regard for who was trying to stop him. What? And, like, I know that the thing is, he's so powerful, he doesn't have to think about them.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, okay. The whole point of Avengers was he sought that attack on New York City. That was Thanos.
I know.
Okay. He was, like, that's his whole thing, is taking down Earth's heroes.
Well, that did not come across in this movie.
That's why you have to watch all 31 movies.
Oh, I think I've seen, like, 27 of them by this that's point.
And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, I mean, I know it was his attack on New York.
Well, yeah, that sparked the whole thing.
Right, no, but, like, his whole getting the stones and everything is a separate motive. He's sort of just been, like, biding his time in the background. I don't know if he's been watching the universe and all that. Maybe we'll get more answers to that. I also didn't get the chance to rewatch all the movies before Infinity
right.
War, so I don't know the pieces that I'm missing. The more you're talking about it, the more I can understand the slowness of Thanos and Gamora's relationship.
Okay.
But I also think, like, it is an interesting concept that he, you know, he did kidnap this girl and then, you know, sort of raised her as his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, although he made Nebula and Gamora fight.
Yeah.
He wanted to make her the mightiest warrior, basically, and did so.
Right, and, like, I don't remember the specifics of their childhood. I know that Gamora does not have any conflicting feelings about Thanos.
Right, but, basically Thanos gave them a choice, Nebula and Gamora, fight.
Right, or...
That's their choice.
Right.
Fight or die, no,
right.
Basically. And he was... And, like, Gamora was like, well, I was fighting to survive. But Nebula, every time she would lose, she would get a piece taken out of her.
Right.
That's why she's mechanical now.
Right.
Right. And she just wanted a sister.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, that's that whole thing in Guardians 2. But, like...
Yeah, but, like, Thanos' whole, well, maybe I kind of loved you, carries no weight with me because...
I don't think kind of. I think he did love her. That's why he was able to get the Soul Stone.
But he was... Yeah, but see, that just, it didn't really fly with me because he was so awful to both of them that, like, even if he actually loved them, he would not have treated them that way. So for Marvel to claim at the last minute,
I don't think he loved,
like,
Nebula. I think he loved Gamora. And I mean, he kidnapped Gamora because she was... That there was that scene where they were on a planet.
Random motherfucking scene with baby Gamora.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. But, okay. Like, he said, like, you're strong or whatever. And then, like, there was that whole scene where he was wiping out the population but wasn't having her look. And then...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know,
like,
why she didn't, like, go, but no, seriously, where's my mother?
Right. Yeah, like, that whole... The motivation and the everything with that just... It didn't... it wasn't clicking for me because, I mean, why would she have grown up unambiguously hating him if he loved her?
Maybe she found out later that he wiped out her planet or something like that. I can't remember the conversation from the original Guardians of the Galaxy, right. But she gets into it there. Same with Drax.
I'm pretty sure he was cruel to them, Thanos.
Well, he made them fight each other.
So right, but I think it was more than that.
I see, I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't remember.
But like...
But either way.
I know she's like super pissed at him for her adult life.
Yeah, reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was never that connected to Gamora, so...
Well, then you were already going right, in.
Being
like,
forced to spend that much time with her and this villain that I have no connection with.
Right.
Yeah, it very much felt like Thanos the movie rather than Avengers the movie.
That's the thing, though, is...
I know. You think that this part could be Thanos the movie so that the next one can be Avengers the movie.
Because Thanos hasn't had a solo film. Every other character has. Thanos
not
has just
bad
been...
bad guys.
But they need to tell Thanos' side of it so that you can hate him even more.
I hate him because he's boring, not because he's a bad guy.
Well, that's your opinion.
Right, and that's where we differ.
You don't hate him because he, you know, wiped out a lot of the universe?
He's a comic book bad guy. That's what they do.
That's not an argument.
Just
they're all comic book characters.
Sure. Yeah, he wipes out planets.
And yeah, the Avengers save people.
Right.
That's what their thing is. That's their shtick. You can't have the argument of the villain if that's the same argument for the heroes.
My other issue with the movie so we're gearing up for this ensemble movie.
Right.
But to me, it never really felt like that because, so granted, they did, rather than just having, like, you know, the Guardians off solving one problem and Thor and his friends off solving another, they did sort of, like,
they
shuffle the
around.
Groups a lot, which was cool. We got to see some new dynamics.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still felt like, you know, 14 different little vignette movies rather than one gigantic ensemble movie.
See, I thought they were very well balanced. Like, there were, I don't think there were 16. I think
no,
there were
I don't
like
think there were
three.
Either. I'm being hyperbolic.
I know that. I think there were three that tied together to the larger story. Because you have Doctor Strange, Spider-Man,
and Iron Man.
And Star-Lord comes into that mix.
Right.
And then you have Thor,
Rocket
and
Groot.
And then you have Cap and basically everyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, it felt like following...
The Vision and Scarlet Witch thing, I think, was a bit of a sidestep. But, like, having the Mind Stone in him...
Right.
...makes it a bigger point of contention, but then they, like, absorb into the Cap group, so it makes it a little more okay.
I understood why Vision and Doctor Strange were getting so much airtime, because, you know,
they're
the stones that we need
right.
to get. But, yeah, I mean, it didn't... So, like... For, like, movies, generally, you have, like, the subplots, but then they come together.
Yeah.
We did not get that, because at the end of the movie, one of the groups is still in space, and everybody else is on Earth. So it felt like following three separate little movies to completion, rather than one large movie.
Okay. But all three of those stories end the same way.
Right.
So, the completion is in part two.
Yeah. Like, it's all
super
really
weird.
Circles back
I
to
get
the
it.
Problem that I did not know that it was a part one. So, maybe if I had known that, I would have gone into the movie with, like, a
different
way of viewing it.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have been expecting all of this to tie up at the end.
And it could be... I mean, I like the movie and a lot of the scenes. Well, the thing is, I like... almost anything.
Right.
So
considerably
it's harder for me to, you know, pick apart and analyze certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I didn't know if it was a part one or not.
Right.
But
you
I wasn't.
At least knew the possibility.
I knew it as a possibility, but I wasn't, like, expecting it or half expecting it. I just went in watching it as a movie.
Right.
Like, as a Marvel movie. And then when it ended... I get so wrapped up in the movie that I'm, you know, in tears
right.
at the ending when Thanos gets his stones, gets his giant stone.
He just gets his stones all in his
into
hand.
His hand.
he's holding his stones.
And then he snaps his fingers like he told us he was going to do earlier in the film. And half of the universe's population starts disappearing.
Like disintegrating. So like we start with Bucky and then we just like keep
integral
seeing
characters.
All of these characters just like
fading away, nothing.
Like disintegrating into just
Tom
particles.
Holland.
Yeah, and like so going into the movie, I think Marvel told us that a major character was going to die.
Either they told us or it was so speculated that it was more or less confirmed.
Somehow we all went into the movie with the expectation that we were going to lose someone. So when it was Bucky, that I believed that. I was like, oh my god, we just fucking lost Bucky.
Right.
But then it kept happening to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I was immediately, because one of the problems that I have with comic book movies in general is that people never stay dead. So I have a hard time mourning characters when they die because it seems quite likely that they'll be back.
Okay. But that's not to say that you can't feel something for when a character dies.
I'm just saying that I don't.
I know. Like, and that's wrong.
That's fine. You're entitled
every
to your
death.
Okay. But so, yeah, so half of the principal characters have disintegrated, and I'm like, okay, so this is not going to stick now. Because, right, we've made it 10 years and now Marvel's canceled because everyone's dead.
They could do it if they wanted.
Yeah, but they're not going to because it's a money vacuum.
Like, Infinity Gauntlet and start up all new characters.
Great.
Or bring the Netflix Defenders into the
Didn't
universe.
They kill T'Challa?
Don't remember.
I'm pretty sure Black Panther died, and I think there would be riots in the streets if that was real.
Listen.
They killed Spider-Man, who absolutely has another movie scheduled.
Okay, like, but that's not what you're thinking about. You shouldn't be thinking about when you're watching a movie.
That's what I
think.
If
you were
about.
Already checked out because of Thanos, then yes, you're going to focus on all those things, but the movie ends on such a down note.
But I think about that anyway. It wasn't just because I was checked out because of Thanos. Like, when we were watching The Flash, I'm like, oh my god, Barry Allen's dead. Okay, sure.
Okay, in that instance, sure. But if half of the population is gone and the other half is still there, I'm not saying...
Depends on which half.
See, I was so wrapped up into that part.
Yeah, I just
And it just ends.
Wasn't.
And it's like, oh my god, everyone's gone. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, granted, you know, I was obviously not expecting it to end there because I thought, you know, we had to wrap everything up.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, that was surprising, but... Yeah, by no means was I mourning those people because I was like, oh, we have, you know, probably a minute and a half for this to all get fixed.
That's a shame because it really hit me when Tom Holland died.
Yeah, that was so overplayed.
Are you kidding me?
I don't want to go, Mr. Stark. Okay.
He finally
you're
became
doing that
an
because
Avenger.
You're 12 and, and it's such an easy card to play with an audience. Like, you make the little kid be like, I don't want to go. I want to stay here.
Obviously, he just became an Avenger. He was saving the world. The universe.
Yeah, that was a cool moment.
And then he died.
He didn't die.
He died.
None
He's
of them
dead.
Died. None of them are dead.
He's dead.
Okay, Marvel's over. No more Marvel movies.
Maybe they are. Maybe they're like, we've had our run. DC, catch up. And then they're just going to wait for 10 more years. And then we'll get Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
That would be surprising.
That would be amazing. And I wish they would do that because that would be
just
hilarious.
To shut me up.
To shut everyone up. Because, you know, this Infinity War is it's such an ambitious goal.
Yeah.
And I think part one was executed pretty well. Maybe some of the Thanos stuff could be trimmed. Like I said, the Scarlet Witch and Vision stuff didn't really get me.
Yeah. But I was glad. The one amazing thing was that they did not spend more than a single second on Black Widow and the Hulk.
That's your story every time. What does it matter?
It matters. Because it's stupid and there was no basis for it, and I'm glad they didn't waste any more of our time with that.
But you also didn't watch any of the other movies.
I have seen the other movies.
Okay. Then you have.
I hadn't seen the first time I saw Avengers, but by the time I'd seen Age of Ultron, I'd seen the other movies.
Okay. I didn't know. We never went over the timeline in which you saw these movies. I thought you were just mad about it because of Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's also no basis for it.
Okay. I was just curious as to...
Got very aggressive.
You got aggressive. So, I forget what I was saying. Yeah, the Thanos stuff... I don't know. I liked Josh Brolin, the actor who plays Thanos.
Okay.
And all the monologuing. I really enjoyed it. But, yeah, you didn't. I don't know. In part two, so we're going to get, presumably, I mean, you know, all the characters that they said were going to be in Infinity War, there were a lot that weren't.
Yeah.
Like Ant-Man and...
Hawkeye,
yes. But I think that's just because, you know, they're saving those guys for part two when, like, half of the population is gone. They're reintroducing all these other characters that can sort of take the place of some of the other guys that aren't going to be around anymore, like Cap in particular.
Yeah.
I know Cap was left standing.
Right.
But I think that's so that we can save his death for when it's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Iron Man 2. I mean, like, I think they could kill off Iron Man, but Robert Downey Jr. is such a staple of the Marvel Universe that I would see them bringing him back more as Tony Stark like they did in Homecoming than bringing
in
Iron
Man. Yeah,
for
just little cameos.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a moment where Tony Stark got stabbed.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my god, this is it. Because, I mean, that they started this whole project with Iron Man.
Yeah.
It would have made sense to lose him in this one, but, you know, as far as we know, he's fine.
Right. I can't remember who else is, quote-unquote, supposed to die.
Isn't it, like, the original lineup is done?
I mean...
Like, isn't Chris Hemsworth, like, isn't his contract up as well?
I would assume so.
Mark Ruffalo, like...
I don't think we've had enough of his Hulk.
That's true. We have not had his Hulk solo movie.
No. Because the one that they released wasn't in it.
Right.
It's still canon.
Right.
It's just not him.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, right?
Yeah, I think it came out 2008.
Okay.
Right after, on the heels of Iron Man.
Okay.
Just Edward Norton was...
I was going to say Edward Norton, but I wasn't sure enough.
Yeah. It was a pretty good flick. It was way better than the 2003 version.
Okay. Well, whatever. But, I mean, all of the negative things that I have, you know, all that being said, there were some really good moments, like some solid Marvel one-liners.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange was, like, particularly enjoyable in this one.
Like I said with Thor, I keep getting more attached to Thor. I've been liking Doctor Strange a lot more. I mean, his solo movie didn't really do much for me, but I think... We had already watched him in Ragnarok, and that little scene was just enough that was like, oh, I'm kind of interested in the character.
Enough to go back.
Yeah.
And he and Tony Stark make fantastic foils for each other because, like, I mean, Doctor Strange is so deadpan that it's just funny watching Tony Stark's comments just bounce off them.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for a Harry Potter reference because he kept referring to him as a wizard.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Or for Peter Parker to...
Yeah.
You know, kids seen too many movies. One more pop culture reference.
But it was also cool to see Peter Quill and Tony Stark.
Yeah, they were good
together,
too.
Because, you know, Peter Quill's basically the Tony Stark of outer space.
Right.
Peter
Quill and Thor were really funny, too.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Peter Quill just became Andy Dwyer, pretty much.
A little bit, yeah. I did keep seeing that when we were watching it.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, they were, you know, I don't regret seeing it opening day. Like, it was fun.
I'm glad
I
would like
it
to see it again so that I can process it more.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, I want to keep comparing it. Because it's supposed to just be, you know, the be-all, end-all of superhero movies. But, I mean, I even thought, like, Spider-Man Homecoming was better.
Really?
Yeah. I loved Spider-Man Homecoming.
No, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Black Panther changed the way I look at comic book movies. But, you know, if you set aside Black Panther and try to compare Avengers Infinity War to other movies in the genre, like, yeah. I don't think it's the strongest.
Okay. I think it's a solid part one. Dug the movie. I dug a lot of the parts of the movie. But it is sort of like seeing half of a film.
Yeah, it you know, the thing that we said about all of them being good standalones, this one isn't.
So until we get that second half...
Yeah, we won't really know.
I won't really know the true power that it had.
Right, what exactly it is we're looking at.
And then I would have to watch them back to back.
Right.
So that, you know...
Yeah, so we know.
But like I said, I really dug the movie. I think... I'm just amazed that Marvel has done it and, like...
Good for them.
It's like, seriously cool. Like,
yeah.
For all the reasons we said earlier, like just movie making and storytelling, and you know, back in the day, like comic book movies weren't really good.
Yeah, I mean they've sort of been like lumped in with action movies for a while.
A bit, yeah.
And now they are very much a defined genre of their own, thanks to Marvel.
And you can hear all about, you know, the superhero genre in a podcast I did in 2015 when I was graduating college and I needed to make up 3 credits because my advisor dicked me over. I created an independent study called Silver Screen and Superheroes.
I remember you telling me about that because we've had this conversation before.
Now, like, I wanted to just talk about superhero movies as a genre, but the teacher that I had to get sign off on everything wanted me to incorporate another aspect of film into it instead of just having me watch superhero movies
and talk about
it on a podcast by myself. So I compared the superhero genre to the Western genre.
Interesting.
Because
the
Western genre, they had this booming time in like cinema history that like you could throw a rock and hit a Western movie and then all of a sudden they died out. And nobody really watched them anymore. And they were just, like, of that era. And
interesting.
I compared it to how superhero movies have sort of defined their genre. And, again, you throw a rock, you hit a superhero movie. Every month has a superhero movie, almost.
Deadpool in May!
Right. So, eventually, it will die out. I'm also, at the end of that podcast, I was curious to see what comes next. What's the new genre? Because it's hard to say, like... You know, every genre is, you know, has the defining parts of it, but like the superhero genre, with Marvel's help, has sort of become just its own entity entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, you know, like the DC movies now and the DC movies then, like, they're still on the same page, whereas like the Marvel movies have evolved.
Just skyrocketed into...
You know. Beyond entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Black Panther, and, like, it's socially conscious in addition to being this just magnificent piece of art.
Right.
And it is of this time.
And even the comic book culture. Like, Comic-Con was just about comic books and shit.
Right.
Now, you go to San Diego Comic-Con, it's like a Hollywood party. Like, all the movie stars are there. Like, all these Marvel characters that they're playing. Like... It's a big part of American culture now.
Yeah.
And that's solely because of Marvel.
Yeah, it's no longer like niche nerd culture. Right. It's mainstream.
Yeah. And it's
congratulations, solely, Marvel. Like,
I wish I could, you know, give DC even an ounce of credit, but it's definitely because of Marvel and everything that they've done.
Yeah.
They established something smart and awesome right at the beginning, and then they took the ball and ran with it, and now
and they keep making it better. Like, they didn't stagnate at that first one. They've been pushing the style and refining it.
Yeah.
And it's broadly appealing.
Yeah. It's a little bit like the TV tropes we were talking about in a couple podcasts ago. Not the tropes, but the evolution of television.
Gotcha. The Sherniverse.
Yeah.
Before we go, I have to do a quick plug unrelated to anything we have talked about. My best friend in the world, Devin Johnson, wrote a novel, and it's called any other name, I'm 98% sure.
I think it's by any other name.
By any other name, something to, oh my god, this is awful. But she wrote a book. It is a Regency romance novel. The two main characters are queer. I think bisexual, they might be just lesbian. She's explained the plot to me, and I'm awful. But either way,
fine.
My best friend wrote a book.
It is any other name.
Any other name. Nailed it. It comes out May 24th, which is her birthday. I'm sure the book is amazing because she's amazing. I will link to her fan page on the page for this podcast. Yeah, if you're at all into romance novels or gay characters or...
It'll be available on Amazon May 24th.
Boom.
From Spider Lily Publishing.
Yeah, so check her out.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for her that she did this. So, yeah, that's all I got for that. All
right. So, this is Avengers Infinity War Part 1 podcast because the next Part 2 will be sometime next year, I guess.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll check in with that. We'll still be doing this, my fingers are
crossed.
Yeah,
we're not going to take off until next year. We have to talk about iZombie.
No,
I meant 100.
I meant we're still going to be doing this podcast through next year.
Yeah. You quitting on me?
No, I'm just making us responsible.
Gotcha.
That it's on record as we're still going to be doing this when the next Infinity War comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever they
call
it.
Your mom has heard us say it now.
Yeah.
Although this one is 4 hours long, so if she's not
listening,
it's okay.
It's 4 hours long. It's an hour and 15.
Really?
I
feel like it's so much longer.
No, it's not. It's actually shorter than our last one.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, you ramble for like 20 more minutes.
No. I'm tired. I gotta wake up early.
That's true.
All right. So, until next time. Same bat time.
Stop it.
Same.
I will not be here.
Channel.
We're breaking up.
Excelsior.
Sure. Expecto Patronum.
It's not a spell. It's a Stan Lee quote.
Expecto Patronum.
'Once the show ends, please don't shed those tears. We'll come back again, so have no fear. We told you that it just might end up this way. What's the show called again? You cannot be saying, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me now? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you? Why didn't I you?